After the re-election of the Gillard government in 2010, the independent balance of power MP Andrew Wilkie negotiated agreement on laws aggressively restricting poker machines. Those agreed laws were later watered down by the Gillard government. Around the same time, the poker machine lobby was donating large sums of money to both the Labor and the Liberal parties, including directly to the campaign of the then Shadow Liberal Minister Kevin Andrews, who was in charge of developing the coalition's policy on pokies. Andrew Wilkie told me earlier this morning, timing of all this was no coincidence.
I mean, the timing was even so remarkable that James Packer and Crown Casinos handed over $250,000 to Bob Catter right at the time when Bob Catter's vote on the crossbench was crucial. And as far as conflict of interest goes, to effectively hand it to the shadow minister, you know, at arm's length, but to hand it over effectively to him at exactly the time that he is preoccupied with the issue of poker machine reform, it frankly, it makes this no better than large sums of money changing hands in a brown paper bag in a developing country.
Well, earlier in the program we read out Kevin Andrews' absolute denial that anything improper took place there, and he makes the point that the coalition's policy was written well before the donation was made. That's Andrew Wilkie, the member for Denison. New South Wales has amongst the strongest political donation laws in Australia right now. The Liberal Premier, Mike Baird, says he wants to propose uniform national donation laws at the next COAG meeting. So how do the multitude of existing political donation laws actually work? And what scope is there for change? Graham Orr is Professor of Electoral Laws at the University of Queensland. He's speaking with James Carlton.
Well, at national level, they're very lax, especially by international comparison with common law cousins like Canada, United Kingdom, New Zealand, even the United States. But what we're getting is some really interesting experimentation at state level, led by New South Wales, but including South Australia, the ACT, Queensland recently. So there is quite a lot going on here, and if we did move to a single national regulator or system, we would want to not dumb down to the lowest common denominator, which is currently the national system.
And there's an irony here, though, isn't there? Because if New South Wales has strong electoral laws, that encourages circumvention or bypassing one jurisdiction to another, which is not the intent.
That's right. Look, I mean, in this area, it's always going to be something of a waterbed effect. So you're never going to get a single set of laws that are perfect. You're always going to have to play the cat and mouse game. But certainly there are some benefits in having at least a national regulator and better enforcement, even if it's going to be very hard to get all the jurisdictions to agree on the rules they would enforce.
There is no national regulator of donations at the moment?
No, we live in a federal system. There's always been different electoral commissions, and they've traditionally, the states have guarded their independence. So it's very interesting that a state premier would come out and suggest a national regulator. But I think rather than having, you know, 8 or 9 different back offices of the people who run elections, we really do need something like ASIC, a national regulator that's got a lot of teeth and the kind of policing and accountancy powers that you need to get to the bottom of the money trail.
In order to achieve that, you'd need 8 premiers and chief ministers plus the Commonwealth to be in complete agreement, wouldn't you?
You'd prefer that. You'd prefer to have a single set of donation disclosure and regulation laws. And at the moment, at the national level, we can't even get the Liberals to agree whether it should be $13,000 a year disclosure threshold, or Labor wants it much, much lower, down to $1,000. You could have a regulator administering a different disclosure laws, but that would create some kind of less simplicity. But at least that regulator would have, hopefully, more resources, power, and would be able to get to the bottom of the money trail. And that's only talking about donation disclosure. Then you've got the issue about expenditure limits or donation caps, which, again, the states have been leading the way on, particularly New South Wales.
So isn't everything all right then? We've got public funding that's resistant to corruption. We've got disclosure laws. And in some jurisdictions, we have caps. We know who's donating. That's why everyone's getting so angry about it.
Well, I mean, take Mr. Shorten's example. We didn't know about that large contribution to his 2007 campaign for some 6 or 7 years.
But that was an accidental breach, he says.
Well, it shows how difficult it is, or how lax enforcement is, and we certainly could be thinking at more baby steps in better enforcement. For instance, why shouldn't donations that aren't disclosed be forfeited? That would provide an incentive to disclose certainly any substantial donations. The Electoral Commission national level has said they need a better set of tools to enforce administrative penalties, political penalties. We certainly don't have real-time donation disclosure, even though we've lived in the internet age for nearly two decades, and we could look to the New York City, which has had that kind of real-time online disclosure since 1993. So there's lots of practical and smaller measures we could do, but certainly we need to have regulators with teeth, because otherwise it's really just an optional system.
The Prime Minister Tony Abbott was responding to the revelations that the clubs movement donated to Kevin Andrews as he was formulating a poker machine policy. Well, the clubs also donated to the Labor Party, he said. Doesn't that cancel out any suggestion of misplaced influence?
Yeah, we need to think. We're certainly not at the bottom of the barrel. We have a relatively clean democracy by world standards. We don't tend to have a lot of outright graft, although there are certainly cases of that, especially at state level. What we do have is the sale of access by ministers, and I think, you know, the Fairfax newspapers won that part of their case against Mr. Hockey, and all sides of politics are selling access to lobbyists and donors, particularly through these so-called forums where businesses buy access. The other thing that you get is a system of reward. So if Clubs Australia has said, well, we don't donate for any particular reason, well, that sounds very philanthropic of them, but a system where sometimes they'll hedge their bets, donate to both sides, and then they'll withdraw or lower their donations as a kind of punishment. So it's a complex kind of system of incentives. It's certainly not exactly the case you can go out and buy a federal politician for $10,000. Of course you can't. And the fact we have parties rather than charismatic individuals like the United States does also insulate us a bit from that kind of graft.
And are you optimistic about the prospects? Should Mike Baird deliver a program to COAG later in the year?
Well, what's interesting is that it's Conservative premiers now leading the way. Traditionally, the Liberals have been very relatively laissez-faire about this. They don't like government regulation. But now we've got Mr. Baird, Mr. Springborg in Queensland, and the Northern Territory Chief Minister all calling for publicly funded elections, which would have once been anathema to the Conservative side. So I'm optimistic that there is a sort of groundswell. People are sick of it at political level as well as in the public and the media. But I am, after 15 years or more of talking about this at national level, I'm not optimistic about getting the parties together at national level. And there are some big sticking points, such as what to do with trade union contributions.
Why are union donations an issue?
Yeah, it goes down to the idea of freedom of association. The Country Party and the Labor Party were both founded by groups, democratic groups of agricultural associations and the trade union movement. So if you say to them they can't affiliate and give money on the basis of the number of members those associations have, you're really putting a sway through the idea of freedom of association. On the other hand, if you allow unions to affiliate and contribute large amounts to the Labor Party, that doesn't seem fair on the Conservative parties. But that doesn't have to affect uniformity on donation laws. That's talking about contribution limits or caps.
That's Professor Graham Orr from the University of Queensland speaking with James Carlton, and the New South Wales Premier Mike Baird saying that he's going to push through COAG this year, call for national election funding laws, so uniformity in those laws.